Oh, there we go. Okay. Good? Okay. Hello, everyone. Can you all pray with me? Holy God, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can come and gather together and be near one another. Thank you for vaccines and the ability to hopefully hug here after the service. And God, I pray that you would open hearts and minds to the words you have, and I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing in your sight. Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to start today with our passage. We're reading from Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9 and 23 through 29. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly exhibited as crucified. The only thing I want to learn from you is this. Did you receive the Spirit by doing the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? Having started with the Spirit, are you now ending with the flesh? Did you experience so much for nothing? And if it really was for nothing, well then, does God supply you with the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? Just as Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, so you see those who believe are descendants of Abraham. In the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, declared the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the Gentiles shall be blessed in you. And for this reason, those who believe are blessed with Abraham who believed. And now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to this promise. So as many of you know, and Mom mentioned it in Sunday school, and a lot of you are on social media, so most in this room know, I have been attending seminary in Decatur for the last 3 years, just outside of Atlanta, Georgia. And when I first started writing this sermon, I had just turned in my last final. So after a summer internship as a hospital chaplain, I will be officially done. I've graduated, I'll have a master's degree. I'm very excited. And it's been a long journey, and there's still a little bit more to go. But in the past week or so, I've find myself spending a lot of time just reflecting on my time in seminary. I find myself remembering how I found the school. I was online Googling seminaries and kind of stumbled upon it, and still am shocked that that is how I ended up where I did. I think of how nervous I was during orientation. I find myself remembering how I spent a good portion of my time in my classes, or in chapel, or in various internships, preaching, feeling a bit like a fraud, feeling what they call imposter syndrome, not really believing that I had the skills or personality or abilities to go anywhere with this degree. I also find myself remembering how much I have learned. I remember the lost and confused, nearly broken person I was when I set foot on that campus in 2018, and how God met me there and has guided me through this entire journey. So clearly I'm one for reflection during transition periods in my life. I always have been. And clearly I'm one for nostalgia. I always have been. And you've heard me say however many times already this word remembering, which seems a bit strange considering that word I don't know if y'all noticed, but that word is not in our text at all today. But yet I see Galatians chapter 3 as Paul kind of imploring these early Christians to remember who they are in Christ Jesus, to remember what God has done for them, and to remember what their baptism in Christ means for how they are to live lives together. I almost see Paul as Mufasa in that scene in The Lion King, where he appears in the clouds to Simba, and in his deep, soothing voice, he says, "Remember who you are." At this point in the story, Simba had run away from Pride Rock and was desperately trying to avoid returning to do what needed to be done. And in this running from his duties as the son of the king, Mufasa appears to remind him, well, of his call, essentially. Remember who you are. You can tell that I am fresh out of seminary because I'm finding call stories in every children's movie and book that I read. But that is what Paul is telling these early Christians. Remember who you are. So let's back up a little bit to better understand where Paul is coming from, the situation he's writing to. Paul is writing this letter to the churches in Galatia, churches that he founded to address specific issues. And the main issue is Jewish Christians coming from outside of these churches, coming in and insisting that any Gentile Christians must be circumcised and must obey certain elements of the law or the Torah in order to be fully Christian. And some of you may remember that we know from Acts chapter 15 that this was a big debate in the early church, and early church leaders had declared that circumcision was not necessary for Gentile converts to Christianity. And Paul was very involved in this debate, was present, and was there for the final decision, which may explain his very strong language as he addresses the church in Galatia. He starts the passage with, "You foolish Galatians." And then he asks again in verse 3, "Are you so foolish?" Paul speaks of their receiving of the Spirit, asking if it was by doing the works of the law or by believing what you heard. And these questions that are clearly rhetorical lead Paul to go way back, reminding the Christians that Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Remember, Galatians. Remember who you are. Remember that those who believe are blessed with Abraham who believed. And although circumcision was given to Abraham as a sign of the covenant, it was his belief that led him to be regarded as righteous. Remember. And then Paul continues on a bit later in the chapter in verse 23 to speak more about the law. Essentially, Paul writes, the law was given to guard us until faith came, or until Christ came. Paul describes the law as a disciplinarian, and the Greek word that is used here describes a slave who was put in charge of young children of high status. So this disciplinarian, or this guardian, was in place to guide the children until they were old enough to partake in their inheritance. So following this argument, Paul makes clear that the law was never meant to perfect us. It was given to us by God to guard us and guide us until Christ came. So Paul's aim is to focus on this transition from the incomplete to the complete, from the covenant in progress for a time through the law to the covenant perfected for all time through Jesus Christ. Remember, the law was given to us, yes, but it was never meant to be for forever. Remember the reason we received the law, to guard and to guide. Remember. And finally, the biggest remember of all comes in verse 26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Remember, you were baptized and you have clothed yourselves with Christ. Remember who you are and remember whose you are. In the early church, newly baptized Christians would be given a white robe, symbolizing that they were now clothed with Christ. And Paul wants the Galatians to remember this. Remember when you stepped out of those waters. Remember that now in Christ, as a child of God, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. But all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Remember your baptism. Do not listen to those teachers who claim that you still need to cling to the teachings of the law for your salvation. You are justified by faith in Jesus Christ, and you have received the Holy Spirit by believing what you heard. Remember. And all of this talk and reflection on remembering made me wonder what the church needs to remember today. So it's no secret that there's a significant lack of unity among Christians as a whole, among the church as a whole. There are divisions within denominations, within homes. There are divisions among family and friends. And we are so quick to argue and to defend our point of view with all the energy and fervor we can muster. And we are so quick to cling to the views and opinions of those who agree with us and to write off any who differ slightly. We refuse to listen, to stop and consider that maybe we don't have all of the answers. And we refuse to consider that what unites us is so much stronger than what divides us. We don't have to look hard to see these divisions all around us. But what we see in verse 28 is that baptized in Christ, former social distinctions and divisions fall away and are replaced by unity. There is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, rich or poor, young or old, conservative or liberal, black or white, immigrant or citizen. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And we are knit together in love by the Spirit who makes us one. Baptism clothes us in Christ and unites us. Remember your baptism. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember what unites us. But I also want to be very clear here that this call for unity and oneness is not meant to be a call to ignore the suffering of those within these various distinctions. The suffering and pain of so many of us above should not be ignored or silenced in the name of unity. Unity does not mean that the societal consequences of these various distinctions suddenly disappear. It also does not mean that the church has a perfect track record in treating people with equality and justice. It does not mean that the church has a perfect track record in loving our neighbors as ourselves. If we're honest, the church is quite far from that perfect record. And I want to be clear that unity in Christ does not mean blatantly ignoring the pain of those within the body of Christ. Then we must be honest and admit that calls for unity have historically been used to hurt and silence so many. And now, in this season, we find ourselves in a time where calls for unity abound. And we find ourselves collectively in a time of transition. And we have spent the past year plus navigating new and frightening territory in this pandemic world. And now things are starting to get back to normal. Vaccines are being administered. More people are out and about. Distant family members are hugging again. Friends are gathering for the first time in months. Weddings are getting planned. And it's exciting. It's a little overwhelming. And just as the Galatians were in their own season of transitioning into what it meant to be church, into what it meant to be one in Christ, we in our transition are also implored to remember. As we transition into a COVID-manageable world, we must not forget what we've learned in this last year. We must not forget to wash our hands. We must not forget to take care of ourselves physically, to take care of those around us. And most importantly, we must not forget to always, always, always mute ourselves on Zoom if we are not talking. But on a more serious note, we must remember to check on our loved ones, our friends and family. We must remember the importance of relationships. And we must remember how much we need one another. We must remember that our teachers and our healthcare workers, our caregivers and our cashiers are essential and deserve to be treated as such. And we must remember what a privilege it is to be able to work and support ourselves and our families. And we must remember that those who cannot do so should never be treated with contempt. And we must remember again what it means to be united in Christ, to be united as children of God. Unity extends to those who are suffering. And my hope and prayer is that this pandemic has opened our eyes to the suffering and pain that surrounds us. These calls for unity are not calls to ignore difference, pain, or suffering. Unity does not mean sameness. It is a posture we hold towards one another, a way of treating each other across differences, a commitment to learning from one another and to learning about each other with the goal of God's kingdom in mind. May we help one another. May we listen to one another. May we learn from one another. May we remember that far more unites us than divides us. And may we remember who has called us and whom we serve. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Remember who you are.
We want to thank you all for coming today. We just pray that the words, the meditations have touched your heart and you walk out of here with a renewed vigor to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. Let's close in prayer. If you want to stand, we'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you allow us to remember some things we would like to forget. Would you allow us to remember so we can learn from our past mistakes, you allow us to remember so that we can learn from our past victories. And you encourage us sometimes to those remembrances, and sometimes those remembrances are not encouraging. But Lord, I just pray that as we leave this place, that we would remember that we are one body of believers who follow you, who love you, and who are thankful for everything that you've done for us and everything that you do for us on a daily basis. We pray that you would go with us as we leave this place. May we take the love of Jesus to our neighbors, people we work with, and may we see people with your eyes, and may we see them as you see them. In Jesus' name, amen.